ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। I am speaking at ISKCON Secunderabad, which is obvious to all of you who are sitting here. I'm saying that because this is also being broadcast to about 150 devotees in various parts of the United States of America. So they don't know where I am. And to the devotees in Secunderabad, I'm just explaining why we finished the Arati Kirtan very quickly, because it started a little late and we had our fixed time for speaking in America. To the devotees who welcome me here, just a little less than an hour ago, thank you very much. It's very much appreciated. It's becoming, seems part of the culture at many ISKCON centers in India, at least. Maybe it will go international, to have beautiful Rangoli on special occasions. And we had a flower shower also. So this is very nice. These are all, bhakti is a very pleasing culture. So this is part of that pleasing culture. It's certainly a lot better than the culture of going to McDonald's, which those of you who are in India maybe don't know what it is. And those in America definitely know what it is, because anyway, let's not speak about McDonald's. Let's talk about Krishna. Before speaking about Krishna, I must say again, those of you who haven't yet turned off your cell phone, everyone has a cell phone, please turn it off. Thank you very much. Yesterday, I was speaking on, and I will continue to do so today, on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10, a well-known verse, which goes as follows: Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. The translation of which is, whether one is devoid of desires, full of desires, or desirous of liberation, one should by all means worship the personality of Godhead, and particularly tivra, in with great intensity, very powerfully and strongly, one should do so. Srila Prabhupada states in his purport, with great expediency, which is a less common English word, which is, in this context, we can understand to mean tivra. I think you all know the word tivra, is it? Comes in Hindi, Telugu. It's a common enough word in Hindi also. Yeah, it means intense. Intense. Yeah. So one should intensely perform bhakti. Now, I was presented with a list of over 30 questions about the nature of Tivra Bhakti. Yesterday, I went through many of them, and I'll try to get through some more of them today. Now, one clarification. There are questions. How can we attain Tivra Bhakti? How can we practice Tivra Bhakti? But I clarified that our acharyas have not designated Tivra Bhakti as a particular level or type of bhakti. Particularly, we are followers of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose teachings on bhakti were particularly codified by Srila Rupa Goswami. Those of you who are standing at the back are welcome to come inside and sit down. I'm sure you can find some space. We can make some space for you. So Rupa Goswami, he gives various classifications of bhakti. The basic aim of devotees that Rupa Goswami states is Shuddha Bhakti, which is distinguished from Mishra Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti means that it is performed only for the pleasure of Krishna, without any personal desire, and without trying to mix in karma, jnana, or yoga. This is a very big subject. I won't try and cover it all now. There are also different manifestations of bhakti, which Rupa Goswami... Well, Ragatmika Bhakti is particularly the bhakti as practiced by the topmost devotees who perform bhakti out of spontaneous love for Krishna. This is particularly manifested in the devotees of Vrindavan. I'm talking about not, now you can go to, you can take a train, the Deccan Express or whatever, and go Hyderabad to Mathura, and go to Vrindavan. And you'll see many people who are inhabitants of Vrindavan. But when Rupa Goswami, and in general, when we speak of Rajavasis, we refer to Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mayi, Radharani, the gopis, the fully perfect devotee, and the many others who are fully perfect devotees of the spiritual world. Not to denigrate or blaspheme the persons who nowadays have their names in the voting register as residents of Vrindavan, but we're particularly talking about the fully perfect devotees. Ragatmika. That means their whole being. Their whole... They know nothing but intense devotion to Krishna. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami taught how to come to that level by being Raga Nuga, following such devotees. He also, so there's Raga Nuga Bhakti. in which one is following such an example of intense devotion. This is all within Shuddha Bhakti. Prema Bhakti, that is a synonym for Ragatmika Bhakti. Ragatmika is a more specific definition. Then we here in this world, most of us, almost all of us, who are enthusiastic or inspired to come to the level or to revive our Krishna consciousness and the level of Shuddha Bhakti, we have to practice sadhana. Devotees like Yashoda, Radha, Raktak, all the devotees of Vrindavan, they do not have to perform sadhana. We don't hear about the gopis getting up in the morning and chanting their rounds. There's no such thing. But we have to follow regulated practices which help us to simultaneously to overcome or to transcend the material desires that hold us in this material world and that are obstacles on the path of reviving our natural, spontaneous, intense love for Krishna. So sadhana, that has the effect of helping us to become free from material desires and positively to develop our natural love for Krishna. Or a more accurate term is to revive our natural love for Krishna. So all the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, they are based on hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of pure devotees. The term pure devotees means, in this connection, pure devotees means those who are completely situated in love of Krishna. And it can also mean those who are very serious to do so. They're also called pure devotees because they're not cultivating bhakti in a mixed way. They're not cultivating desires for material enjoyment or liberation. They may have such desires still within their heart, but they're seriously attempting to overcome that. So, this is sadhana bhakti, and that leads one to the stage of bhava bhakti, which yesterday, from the definition given by Rupa Goswami, I enlisted the 9 symptoms of bhava bhakti, which means that bhava bhakti means that one is just coming to the perfectional stage. One's sadhana is coming to siddhi, coming to the perfectional stage. The siddhi is prema bhakti. And bhava bhakti means almost there. So some of the symptoms are, anyway, I enlisted them yesterday, but we can see that there is intensity. One does not want to waste any time. One is intense. Now, of course, one can be intense in any activity. And in fact, unless one practices an activity intensely, one is not likely to be successful in it. The great cricket heroes of India how did they come to that level? They had to practice, and they have to go on practicing. They have to keep fit. They have to go on training. The great businessmen of India did not become rich by winning a lottery, but by intense Hare Krishna absorption in all the time thinking. Money, 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 money. How to make money. And not just thinking, but making plans, seeing to every detail of their business. And when their business expands, they have to appoint managers in various departments. Practically, they have to be conscious of their business all the time. Even when they're eating, even when they're brushing their teeth, even when they're sleeping. How can you be conscious of your business even when you're sleeping? Well, we can understand that if you're really thinking about something very seriously, the first thing is you may not go to sleep. You can't sleep. But then when you wake up, immediately, you're thinking, oh, I have to do this or do that, or what shall I do? Because one is intensely absorbed. So, in bhakti, even in the stage of sadhana, if it's going to come to the perfect stage, one has to be like that. So, one may think, well, I'm doing a job. I have to go to my office or my shop. I have to go to school. I have to send my children to school. How can I think of Krishna? How can I have intensity in bhakti? Srila Prabhupada was once asked, this must have been approximately 1968 or 1969. I asked shortly after I joined, or shortly after I was allowed to join this movement, I asked a question of Mukunda Goswami, who was one of the first members of this movement. I often used to ask him questions. He was in London at the time where I joined. And he would always, almost always answer me, citing an incident that he had been present in, where Srila Prabhupada had answered a similar question. So the question, how can we think of Krishna always? So Mukunda Maharaj told me that once Srila Prabhupada was at an airport and a woman working there, maybe, I'm not sure exactly, she asked, as is common, if you go in the West dressed with this kind of clothing, it's very common that people ask you, especially it seems in airports, maybe because people are waiting for planes, they have time or whatever. They ask you, what is the significance of this dress? What's this all about? Is this something religious? So they ask questions like that. So one lady asked Srila Prabhupada some question like this. And what is the point? What are you trying to do? And Srila Prabhupada said, we want to think about Krishna all the time. So she asked a very pertinent question. Or Prabhupada said, to think about God all the time. So she asked, well, how can you think about God all the time? Just like I'm at work now and I have to do my work. So how can I think of God? And Srila Prabhupada answered, he said that just like a woman, before she goes to work, she combs her hair very nicely and adjusts her hair. Now, in India, in Indian culture, the women, they have their hair tied back and parted in the middle. So nowadays it's usually just tied back and not parted in the middle. But anyway, or it's Western style. I'll come to that. So in India anyway, it's a fairly standard hairstyle. So you don't have to, and it's tied, so that's it. It's in the morning, it's fixed up, and you don't have to think about it. But in the West, women, and nowadays men also, have different kinds of hairstyles. Srila Prabhupada gave us this kind of hairstyle, so you don't have to comb your hair much in the, there's only a little bit to comb. But in the West, women have different hairstyles, so they have to comb their hair or brush it, and then it looks, then it's in place. But during the day, they might have to brush it again, and it's very common in the Western countries. Women have what's called a compact, is it? Can you remember that, Rasanand? From your way back, it's called a compact, something like, they have little bag with little makeup set, is it? The women, they know. I didn't have one in this lifetime. So they have some powder to put on their face, and lipstick, and some, all kinds of things, some mascara. There's one kind of thing to put something on their face and something else to take it off and all kinds of things like this. So Srila Prabhupada, he said that, well, yeah, and from time to time they take it out and then they look at themselves in the mirror and then they put some more powder and like that. So Prabhupada said that it's just like you're at work, but you're always conscious of your appearance. You may not be directly thinking of it all the time, but when there's, well, he just said, you're always conscious of your appearance. So we understand that when there's a break in the work, then the makeup bag will open, out will come the mirror, and then there'll be some brushing and some putting on some powder like this. I don't watch enough internet video. They don't do that anymore. It's out of date. Is it? Anyway, this was the 1960s. So I'm just making the point here that Prabhupada said that a woman is always conscious, even subconsciously. So in the same way, we may be doing many things, but we're always conscious of Krishna. That should be the point. And we see from the description of Krishna Leela that Yashoda Mayi and all the other gopis, older gopis, younger gopis, they may be churning the butter or taking the cows, but they're always thinking of Krishna. So, that is possible if we really have strongly and clearly that my aim in life is Krishna. Now, for the perfect devotees, they're directly situated in their relationship with Krishna. Someone is the mother of Krishna. Someone is the aunt of Krishna. Someone is assisting the various gopis. And in Dwaraka Leela, Ayodhya Leela, Vaikuntha, there are so many devotees who are situated directly in their perfect relationship with Krishna. And they serve Him in that way. So someone whose service is to collect firewood for the fire on which Radharani will cook for Krishna, then they're going to collect the firewood and seeing what is very nice wood and always absorbed in thought of Krishna and directly serving Krishna. So in this world, we are to cultivate that. At the beginning level, we have to serve Krishna according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And we have various services that we have to perform. Especially, there is hearing and chanting about Krishna, regulated chanting, minimum of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. That in itself is quite an intense practice. If we actually chant, you see, we can chant 16 rounds somehow or other. We can get through it daily. But really, if we are to really have the benefit from chanting, then we really have to concentrate, take it very seriously, and then when we chant, we will appreciate how Krishna is reciprocating with us. Because really, chanting is not just a matter of opening and closing our mouths, making some sounds, but it means to pray to Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So, actually the whole process of Krishna consciousness, this flickering light should be turned off. This strobe effect is, apart from anything else, very bad for the eyes. So, is there anyone here who can see to that? Turn off the flickering light. Our focus on Krishna should be like a direct light, not a flickering light. The flickering light, this represents our mind. And this, the non-flickering light represents our mind as it should be, directly going toward Krishna only. And the flickering light is saying, I don't want to go to Krishna. So the whole process, by its very nature, is intense. And actually, to practice sadhana at the minimum standard that Srila Prabhupada gave to us takes several hours a day. And most people nowadays, would you like to come inside? Please come inside. If you come inside, the devotees will make a place for you to sit. Or you can sit there if you like. At the back. So modern life, in the name of progress and development, people have to work very hard. And usually, or often, even before they go to work, they have to travel a long way. So if you work, say, 10 hours or 12 hours a day, which is common here in India, you may have to spend 1 hour or 2 hours going and coming to work also. So it doesn't leave much time for sadhana. But somehow or other, if we are to fulfill the actual purpose of life, which is to get free from birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead, then we have to find the time to practice sadhana. It is essential. For that, we may need even to change our job, have a lesser income, People in the modern age think that work, making money, that's all. And you wait, when you make lots of money, then you can get a very big TV screen. Then when you come home from work, you can sit in front of your big TV and fall asleep because you're exhausted. And the main thing is that when your relatives come, which they only do on Diwali because they're too busy also, you can show them your big TV screen. And you might stay awake if there's a cricket match. Otherwise not. So it's miserable. With a capital M. Miserable life. Krishna consciousness is bliss. But we can't experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness unless we practice it very seriously. If we're still trying to enjoy what's on TV and practice bhakti, it's not going to work. If we want to have happy material life, which is only a bluff anyway. There's no such thing as happy material life. That's why we're in the material world, because we think there's such a thing as happy material life. But if we're trying to have a happy material life and have Krishna consciousness, it's not going to work. Bhukti Mukti Sprihayavat Pishachi Hridhi Vartate Tavat Bhakti Sukhasyatra Katam Abhyudayo Bhavet. Rupa Goswami quotes this. He says that there are two witches, Pishachis, within the heart. Where? Within our heart. Heart disease. We have two Pishachis or Rakshasis inside our heart. One is called Bhukti Spriha and the other is called Mukti Spriha. Bhukti Spriha means the desire for material enjoyment. And the other is called Mukti Spriha. And that means the desire for impersonal liberation. So as long as these are within our heart, then there is no question of tasting the bliss of bhakti. So, if at all we are to taste the bliss of bhakti, then we have to throw out all material desires and all desires for impersonal liberation. Now, often people think, well, you have to take sannyas. Yes, you have to take sannyas. Not necessarily formally, but one has to take sannyas in the sense that even if one is a grihastha, one's goal of life should not be to be very rich, very comfortable. One's goal of life should be to serve Krishna and love Krishna. That doesn't mean that one does not act responsibly and look after one's family members. It also doesn't mean that one does not love one's family members. It's not that if you take up bhakti, that now I hate my children. Not like that. But one practices family life with Krishna in the center. A man looks after his family. Generally, it's considered that the parents, they have to provide for their children roti, kapra, makan, food, clothing, and shelter, and education. And it goes without saying that they have to provide them affection, sense of security. So this is all inherent in family life. But also, and ultimately, most important, one has to give the children Krishna bhakti. The husband and the wife, ideally, they relate to each other as devotees of Krishna. That is why there is Vivaha Yajna, Vivaha Sanskar. Dogs and cats do not have a marriage ceremony. Some people arrange marriage ceremonies for dogs and cats, but that's stupid. And they don't, the dogs and cats, they don't understand what's going on. The point is that for a kutta and kuti, dog and a bitch, to come together and produce children, there's no ceremony required. For humans, there is. Whether it's what we call Hindu religion, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, there is a religious ceremony for marriage. And the wife is called, the husband in Vedic culture is called Pati Guru, and the wife is called Sahadharmini. The idea is that marriage is meant not, it's not simply an animal function of producing children, because animals also have children and they also look after them. Of course, the male dog is not much concerned, but the female, she looks after the children, she feeds them. But the understanding is that simply to look after one's children, that in itself is not grihastha dharma. That is, of course, is essential. But for grihastha life to be grihastha ashram, there are the different ashrams. Brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyas ashram. Now, grihastha life is not grihastha ashram if it's only khana pina sona TV dekhna. That is not grihastha ashram. I'll say that in English for those who don't understand Hindi. It's not only eating, drinking, sleeping, and watching TV. Grihastha ashram means that it is centered on dharma. That is why the husband is called Pati Guru and the wife is called Saha Dharmini. In other words, eating, sleeping, all these things are there. Affection for children is there. But the central point is how, well, dharma, of course, that's understood at different levels. At the highest level, it is understood to serve Krishna. So, Vaishnav family life means everyone comes together to serve Krishna. That means in the home, there has to be regular arati with all the family members present. And the parents, they train the children to sing in arati, to perform arati, to chant the names of Krishna, to understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And traditionally within the homes, the children would learn from the grandparents the stories of Rama Leela, Krishna Leela, and in this way, the family life is centered on bhakti, not the TV. So, that intensity is there. Srila Prabhupada explained about his own father that he used to perform puja of Radha Krishna for many hours a day. And he did his business. His Srila Prabhupada's father was a cloth merchant. But Prabhupada said that was incidental. But his main focus in life was doing puja. And in India, we always used to hear people say, oh yes, my grandfather or grandmother was a great devotee. They used to do puja 6 hours a day. But it was always the grandmother or grandfather, not them. But you are supposed to do also. Nowadays, we don't hear that. One generation ago, we used to hear that my grandfather was a great devotee. Nowadays, we don't hear that, because nowadays, the grandfather, he already lost it. So, this Krishna conscious movement is meant for reviving that culture of intense devotion to Krishna. To be intensely absorbed in Krishna, it is not very favorable to be materially very ambitious. Now, in the modern age, children are taught, you should be very ambitious. You should be a success. You should make something of your life. Don't be ordinary. You should have a great career. And then, so you have to work hard, get a good degree, and then go to work. And in your work, you should always try for job advancement. But in Krishna consciousness, we recommend that if you're in Grihastha ashram, you do something. You have to do something. The modern economy is such that you have to earn money. So do something to earn money for supporting your family. But if you're very ambitious, then you're always thinking, I have to work harder and impress my boss and get more sales. And the whole focus of life is on career advancement. But in Krishna consciousness, we recommend, do something, earn some money. And it doesn't matter whether you earn 2 lakhs a month or 20,000 a month, which I think nowadays 20,000 is like the minimum for middle class family life, is it? 20,000? And if you're in Bombay, it's probably 30,000. But actually you can live on less because you don't need a TV. You don't need a cell phone. Nowadays a cell phone is not just a cell phone, but it's camera and so many other things. You don't need, dare I say it, a computer. Whoops, I have one too. Well, modern life is such that it's almost a necessity. It's almost a necessity to have a two-wheeler, if not a four-wheeler. Otherwise, you can go to work by bus, but it's miserable. It's less miserable to be in the traffic jam in your own car than in a bus which has 72 seats and 120 people inside it. So a car becomes almost a necessity, and a cell phone becomes almost a necessity. and a computer becomes almost a necessity. And it goes on and on and on. And we're trapped in modern life. But we recommend keep it as simple as possible so that you can focus on Krishna. Otherwise, what's the point? You're working, 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 and then you die, and you get born again, and you missed the opportunity to be Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. So one can be Krishna conscious in family life, but you really have to make a point of it. Otherwise, especially in modern life, we're just carried away by the whole flow of the materialistic society. We really have to make a decision that my life is meant for serving Krishna. And I'm not going to be carried away by this modern way of life. I'm going to focus on Krishna. And even if everyone's against me, I have to focus on Krishna. And people will be against us. Maybe more in India than in America. Because in America it's a very pluralistic society. And many people have the idea that, well, you can live life the way you want to. And if you want to be Krishna conscious, well, okay. Many people think like that. Whereas in India, people think that you have to work hard and make lots of money. And that is the purpose of life. And if you don't do that, there's something very wrong with you. So in some ways, in America, people, in general, in some ways, the culture in America is less materialistic than in India. In some ways. But anyway, whether you're in America or in India, we have to understand that the goal of life is to be Krishna conscious. To live comfortably in this world is not the goal of life. So I didn't get around to answering any of the questions. But speaking generally, that to practice Krishna consciousness intensely is actually really the only way to practice it. And we have to understand that. You can come once a week here on Sunday and join the kirtan and chant Hare Krishna. And you're welcome to do so. But we don't want you to get away so easily. We want to tell you that unless you practice Krishna consciousness very seriously, you're wasting your life. So if you come here and listen to these lectures time after time, then gradually we trust that your interest in becoming a puckup materialist will lessen and you'll become Krishna conscious. Seriously. So are there any questions about this, please? Yes. Yeah, just wait a minute. We'll pass the mic over to you. Well, anyway, I'll have to repeat it for the benefit. Okay, speak it.
As you said, one needs not to be ambitious towards material things. Because it is being taught from the childhood it is being taught to be more ambitious, for need to earn more and more and more money.
Yeah.
By nature, a person becomes ambitious. Now, how can that ambitious nature can be converted towards Krishna consciousness?
The question is that from childhood, you've been taught to be ambitious. and you say that it is our nature to be ambitious, so how can we, what is that, dovetail that in Krishna consciousness? Well, actually, it's not our nature to be ambitious. Most people, if they were not brainwashed like that, would probably be lazy. If you, just like before so-called modern civilization reached the Polynesian islands, people were pretty lazy. They didn't wear any clothes, or not much, because the climate is such that you don't need any clothes for warmth. And food is very easily available. Fruit grows easily, and they can catch some fish in the ocean. So they didn't do much. They didn't work hard because they didn't need to. So they weren't ambitious. And it's only when you have this idea of development that the idea of ambition comes. Otherwise, in pre-industrial societies, there are no factories, and everything is very simply produced. So, ambition, yes, the culture was such that people were, what's the word? Acculturated? Or they were trained to be spiritually ambitious. That we should utilize our human life to be God conscious. It's only, you think it's natural to be ambitious. It's not natural. This modern society is not natural. Everything about it, physically, mentally, and culturally, is unnatural, which is one reason why there are so many cases of psychological disturbance in the modern age. Because we live in a very unnatural society. So ambition, yes, our ambition should be to be Krishna conscious. But we have to be careful because we're so much acculturated, that's the word, toward material ambition that we might think that, well, now that I've taken to Krishna consciousness, I should show myself to be the best devotee. Or I should get a big position. We see some parents are not very happy when their children, their sons, become full-time brahmacharis in Krishna consciousness. But they think, well, it's okay as long as he gets some good position. He should be a temple president or head of a department or something like that. Or he should be posted overseas. Then it's okay. But we don't want him cleaning the toilets. But actually in Krishna consciousness, if one is ready to clean the toilets, that's very good. You might say, well, I'm a PhD. I shouldn't clean the toilets. Why are you making me clean the toilets? Because you're a PhD. You need to clean the toilets. Because I'm a PhD. Oh, it's very good for these devotees that I've joined them. They should be very grateful. We're thinking like that. Therefore, you have to go and clean the toilets. Just to understand that in Krishna consciousness, we are meant for menial service. To think that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Not to think that, well, I'm a better devotee. You see, this is a Bhangi devotee. And I'm a Brahmin devotee. You should go clean up the toilet. And think, I'm very lucky to have this opportunity to serve the devotees. And actually, I don't know about now, but when I joined the movement in London, in England, that was our standard training. Whoever joined, we didn't even ask what you were doing. Were you a, you know, manager or whatever? You joined, okay. So get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, take breakfast prasadam. Here is a broom. This is your service. Now you have to sweep the whole ashram. That was there. That was for everyone. That's the training. And if you don't like to do it, well, alright. You can come and chant Hare Krishna with us, but you're not meant for living in the ashram. And I remember the first time I visited Nathdwara, which is the main center of the Vallabh Sampradaya. Srinathji is worshipped there. So I had this very pleasing experience of, well, when you take darshan of Nathji, there's a lot of pushing and shoving because it's a small haveli with many people inside. And they're all very eager to have darshan. So there's a lot of pushing and shoving. But it's all good natured. Then when the curtains close, I was coming out and I saw people sweeping the floor. And from their dress, you could understand they're probably very big people, very rich. Often the members of the Vallabh Sampradaya, Vaishnavas, they're often from very rich backgrounds. But they were very eager to sweep the floor of the temple and the surrounding areas with the idea that we have come to serve Krishna, we should perform all kinds of services. Ramanujacharya, great devotee. When we say great devotee, we mean very, very great. His influence is still going on here, even today. So, he would regularly, when he was living in Sri Rangam, he would regularly, daily, go to the Kaveri and personally bring a big pot of water for bathing the Lord. So, ambition. Our ambition is to be Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya Dasanu Dasanu Das. To be the servant of the servant of the gopis, who are the servants of Krishna. So, in the workplace, you have that corporate culture. Get ahead. All this kind of thing. So for you, maybe more than others, it will be good. When you come to the temple, you try to find some menial service. Cutting vegetables, sweeping the floor, serving prasadam. That will be very good for you. that will help you. Says me, sitting on a big seat. Rascal. Then any other questions? Yes, please. Every Sunday, if we do preaching, it will be helpful. Every Sunday it's going on. Every day. Me. All right. You can call Rasanand Prabhu here. He's here. You can call him. He can tell you. Yeah, yeah. Not regular classes. Well, I tell you, do you have a computer at home? You can call Rasanand. He can give you it every Sunday. Then you call. He's ready. He's living here in Secunderabad. I'm not living here. I'm cursed. Do you know that? I have a curse on me. You know that? Yeah, yeah, it's a fact. There was one Daksha, he cursed Narad Muni. And Narad passed that curse down in parampara. And that came down to Prabhupada, and he gave it to his sannyasis, that you cannot stay in one place. So I won't be here next Sunday. And if Rasanand Prabhu takes sannyas, then he also won't be here regularly. But he's staying here. So you can call him every Sunday. I'll tell you something else, because I can see you with this clicking machine. So better, you don't have a machine, you have a bead bag, and you also have that. But better you chant all your rounds on the japa mala. That is better. With the machine, you tend to develop bad japa habits. With the beads, you set aside some time daily for chanting. And chant nicely. Where did the idea of the machine come from? It maybe it came from me. Because I was in Bangladesh at a time when it was, our movement wasn't very, it was a tense period, you could say. So when we had to go in the public, we didn't have bead bags. We had to travel from place to place. And the Muslims all knew that a bead bag, a majority population, so even neck beads, they know, Hindu, Hindu. So we had to be quite careful. So we got these machines for clicking, and Jai Pataka Maharaj, who was our GBC member, he came and he started to use that also. And I think it went around the world from him. So is probably, I am probably the founder acharya of the, well, myself and a few others who were in Bangladesh at that time, of this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, click, 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 Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, click, click, click. But, sorry. Better you use beads. Use the japa mala. So any other question? Now one thing, you can also watch lectures on the internet. It's nicer. This is a very important point. Thank you for making that point. You can watch or hear lectures on the internet. But as you said, it is nicer to do so personally. This is a very important point. You can do everything on the internet. You have to chant your own rounds. You can't just play a machine for chanting your rounds. But you can have Mangalarti on the internet. You can have classes on the internet. But it is actually more intimate and more personal to have a personal group Isn't it? So even though you can watch the Mangalarti on the internet, it's nice to do in your own home, or if you're living close to the temple here, you can come to the temple. And to have groups of actual people, not androids. You can probably, if you want to be a guru, you can make some androids and train them to be, you know what that is, robots? You can train them to be your disciples. But real people, it's nice to have real people who we can interact with and chant Hare Krishna with. So, yes, it's nice to have an actual group of real live people who we can look at, we can smile at, and actually if I did come every week, I'd probably also chastise you also. But that's also personal. You can call Rasa Anand Prabhu, he'll chastise you personally, not via the internet. He will personally chastise you and criticize. So, that's also personal. Right? You love your mother? You love your mother?
I lost her. I see.
So, she used to sometimes be very strong with you? But you love her for that also? So don't use this machine. You use beans. So that's also part of being personal, isn't it? All right, so. All right, please ask. Last question before my voice goes to China. All right, there's one over here first. All right. Just wait.
The question is, we read about the Sankirtan movement going to towns and villages, but mainly from personal observation, and we've seen it's mainly restricted to the cities. You don't see much impact.
The Sankirtan, the observation is, the Sankirtan movement is supposed to go to every town and village. Why is it only in the towns? Because you didn't go to the village. Good news for you. On Thursday, from our village project at Nandagokulam, which is about 100 kilometers from here, less than that, 70, we're inaugurating, if Krishna desires, he desires, a Sankirtan Padiyatra for going village to village. So you're welcome to join it. Whenever you can, if you're caught up in the city, you can go at the weekend. So you're all welcome. On Thursday, we have Sankirtan. Wednesday, is it? Wednesday the 5th, okay. Wednesday the 5th is, if you want to join the inauguration, please see Madhav Gopinath Prabhu is here. He can, from Nandagokulam, which is our village project, which has been going on for the last 10 months, near to Yadgiri Guta. So you're welcome to visit. And you can join the Padyatra. You can go every Sunday and join that. So, yes, let it be in every town and village. And if you're older and you're retired and your children are settled, you can join the Padyatra. You can also. If you can't join all the time, you can go sometimes. Oh, you've also... Oh, I won't. You've also got a hairstyle.
By what way actually we can find ourselves close to Krishna, like closer to Krishna?
How can we come close to Krishna? How can we come close to Krishna? By pujas, yagyas, meditation. In Kali Yuga, you can all join in. Those of you who know the verse. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kaivalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva nasteva, atiranyata. Do you know this verse? Have you heard it? It means that in Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. So you can do yagyas, you can do pujas, you can do meditation, but you must chant Hare Krishna. If you don't, maybe you don't do puja, you can do puja, we recommend you also do puja, but you must chant Hare Krishna. So at home, you can do kirtan with your family members. You can also chant on the beads. Harinam is a must. And please also read Srila Prabhupada's books. Do you have Srila Prabhupada's books? Bhagavad Gita, as it is. I see, you read one page. All right. Do you have Krishna book, Pastimes of Krishna, by Srila Prabhupada? You please get that, because you have to teach your children about Krishna, right? So you have to know. So you can read about Krishna. You can get one set of Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of you have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam? Very good. How many of you don't have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam? So you please all get one set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you read that regularly, in the beginning it's a little difficult, because it might be a little difficult, because it's philosophical. And in the modern age, we're not much used to philosophy. But once you get a taste, then you'll never want to watch the TV. It's much, much better than watching TV. So study Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna. And you can invite devotees to your home sometimes. Different devotees. You can invite each other. Just like you invite your friends, social event. Not even an event. Just you invite from time to time. Come to my home. And we'll chant Hare Krishna together. We'll have a little arati, little talk about Krishna, take prasadam together, like that. Chanting is essential. Who? Turn the echo. Is the echo? Turn the echo. What's the echo? What's the question? Why don't you can type it in? You don't have any facility for that. Because with this echo, we can't. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. In the meantime, there's another question.
I have lost my wife's mother.
I have also. We have something in common.
Yeah. My question is,
do you want to sit in the mic?
Sit in the mic. In our knowledge, we have some 50 devotees. Many of them don't chant Hare Krishna. So I and my friend do keep some conditions for them, that if they ask any help for us, we keep conditions that do run smaller and we will. And in somehow we make them chant Hare Krishna one at least one round by forcing them, or anyway. Are we right or wrong?
The question is, what's your name?
Surya Kamal.
Surya Kamal. has told me he's also lost his voice. That in his college there's a group of 50 boys who are interested in bhakti, but they don't all chant rounds. So they, somehow or other, they're getting them to chant rounds. Just like if they want some help, just like in the study, is it? Or whatever. Any kind of help. They say, okay, we'll help you, but you have to chant one round. One round means one round of chanting Hare Krishna. He's asking, is it all right to do this? The answer is, yes. Yes. Because they'll understand that you're very serious about getting them to chant.
I and my friend will get permission to go out easy for Maharaj.
To go out?
Yes. We are in hostel, Maharaj.
You're getting permission to go out, to come here, is it?
Here or anywhere. For eat or something. And if they ask for us to bring any eatables, fried rice like this, if they ask like this veg fried rice, we will take that one round. If they ask chicken or that...
If they ask you to bring chicken...
Only two, three
you months. Tell them to chant one round and not eat chicken.
We make them, if condition that make four, six rounds to chant to bring us to eat it right.
Six rounds for chicken. I wouldn't bring chicken. Don't bring chicken. Don't bring chicken under any circumstances.
They do not follow anything.
No, but you have to tell. We can't touch chicken. You have to tell. People, they take it as normal. I think this Twin Cities, Hyderabad, Secunderabad, I think there are more meat shops here than any other city. It's horrible. Every other shop is a meat shop. So people think it's normal, but you have to tell them that this is very sinful. You tell them, I can't bring you chicken, because if I bring you chicken, I'll become a chicken. And if you eat chicken, you'll become a chicken. So it's very sinful. You have to tell. Then they might not like you. But what to do? Eating chicken is very bad. How many chickens are killed in India? Every must be more than a million every day. And they're tortured all their life. It's horrible, very bad. You see, people are talking religion. But where's the religion? If people are torturing animals and killing animals. So, we don't have anything to do with this meat eating. It's very bad. There's one book we have, it's called A Higher Taste, which gives all the reason for being vegetarian, including health reason. So you can tell them to read this book. You get that book, tell them to read it. Are you going to show this? No? Okay, so there's one question here. You got the question? Yeah, okay. So, please speak. No, it's not coming. All right, we'll finish that. What's the question? The sun is a planet. How can the... What's that? I couldn't understand.
The sun is a planet. How can Krishna teach to
the
planet? The sun is not a person.
No, well, Krishna says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavana aham avyayam. Krishna says, I spoke to the sun god. the sun planet has a sun god. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. Just like this earth has the earth god, goddess, Bhumi.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
Okay, we have alright set this up. Yeah, I can hear you. Yes, I can. I don't know who you are, but I can hear you. Please speak slowly and clearly. Now we're not hearing. Okay, so. Yes. So, thank you all very much for coming. Someone, a devotee in America, is trying to ask a question, but the technology is just not holding up. So, we'll finish this session here. There's going to be a little...